O-R-E-D. Radio's a blast. Admittedly, I've tried to leave the industry due to its instability, but it won't let me. It stalks me, like in the Final Destination movies, but with less gore. So let's go back a whopping 40 years, because who doesn't like being reminded of how old they're getting? I was co-editor of my high school newspaper, hoping to study journalism at U of O, become a duck, and perhaps a magazine writer, but fate had other plans, like Final Destination. A school counselor informed me of a minority broadcasting scholarship, and being half Filipina qualified me. I could be Filipina and do something other than nursing? Really? Cool. I had never considered radio, but the scholarship was too good to pass up, covering everything but lunch, tuition, fees, books, and a bus pass. I could live at home, go to school, get a degree, and pay zilch, so I applied. I was interviewed by a large panel of very important leaders in Portland, and not even too scary, including Vern Chapman, a CEO at Nike, Margaret Carter, who became my counselor at PCC and later went into politics and became a representative and then a senator, and Dr. Patricia Swenson, the renowned station manager at KBPS, who encouraged me to try out for Summer Sound. I did win the scholarship, which was awarded to one girl and one boy in Portland. Kismet? Was the moon in the seventh house? It felt esoterically auspicious. I auditioned for Summer Sound at KBPS, and guess what? I received a rejection letter. But Kevin Flink, the radio teacher at the time, called and told me to ignore the letter as more funding was provided. Fate again. We had three jocks and the rest of us were newscasters. We did mainly rip and read news back when we sifted through reams of paper on a teletype machine to find stories and rip them from the printer. We also did the occasional interview. I had a lot to learn. I was quite the neophyte. Well, you have to start somewhere. You practice, improve, and learn on the job, no matter how cringeworthy at times. It's much more doable when you have a patient leader like Kevin. He taught us, managed us, put up with, and even embraced teenage shenanigans and saw our potential. And that's what KBPS is about, recognizing potential, guiding students, giving them a chance to learn, grow, gain experience, polish their skills, and expand their knowledge in an ever-changing, ephemeral, technological world. But we're staying alive, staying musically relevant, keeping the sound fresh with teen sound, as well as that old-time rock and roll. Got Beatles? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got Elvis? Oh, ho, ho. The variety keeps it interesting. I've worked at 15 radio stations. Did I mention the biz is unstable? I've played many formats, including pop, adult contemporary, classic rock, oldies, heavy metal, country, alternative blues, and new age. And with Scott's extensive knowledge of older music and deeper tracks, some I've never heard of, Jacob's love of various genres, and my experience, I think we have the music pretty well covered. Yay, team. KVTS, they say it's your birthday, so happy birthday to you. 100, wow. Now go blow out those candles before the air quality index goes berserk.
My name is Leslie Franklin Fowl. I'm the class of 1986. And you had wanted to know what titles. Let's see. I was the chief of staff of KBPS student staff and the first female to hold that title.
Were you, what is your favorite KBPS memory?
That's a tough one. I think that we had done some 19 magazine work, so we developed a nighttime show that ran in the evenings, and we were able to play popular music just like any other radio station in town, and we really kind of emulated a real big-time music station.
Now, you mentioned that you were the chief of staff, but something you didn't mention, you were the first female chief of staff. What did that look like, and what was your responsibilities as the chief of staff?
Well, just as chief of staff, what we were able to do is really kind of integrate and have a voice within what the programming looked like, what the opportunities were for people in the community. So we were able to kind of help foster some of the collaboration between what other community aspects and shows were doing. Like, this is before KBOO kind of came on, and, you know, really trying to give some community members a voice and saying that even though we're students, we're still part of the community and we can still make a difference.
Can you tell us about how KBPS affected your life and your career?
Oh my goodness. So because of my time at KBPS, I was able to learn, I utilize a lot of my skills, which one of them being talking, but another one, I had a nice degree of manual dexterity, so I liked electronic things. So I really loved the aspect of being able to set up the remotes. I was able to do some voice work because I realized that I love talking on the radio. I love reading books. I love on the radio. I actually, the way I started out wanting to be on KBPS was actually I was in second grade and I won a contest for being a really good reader. So part of what we won was we got to go to KBPS as a second grader and read a story on the air. And I'm pretty sure it was just recorded, but we were really excited. We got to use all of the fun sound effect things, shutting the doors. And it was just an experience I never forgot. And I always knew that I wanted to come back. So when I went to high school and was looking at which high schools to go to, that is exactly why I wanted to come to Benson.
My name is Chris Sargent, and I'm a 1987 alum from Summer Sound. Well, I was a graduate of Cleveland High School, and so I went to Cleveland, but I spent my afternoons coming over to KBPS. Kevin Flink was a huge influence, along with Dr. Swenson, who taught me the general manager rules. But you know, it was a great experience, and I started out on 19. Magazine, and then also as a fill-in for the DJs, and typically DJs did not come from other high schools. They were supposed to be Benson students. Kevin made an exception but challenged me because I was not really great at reading news, and this is something that's helped me in my career all the way along. Was he said, well, you're going to have to do a lot of jobs when you get to a real radio station, which I totally understood. That's why I was part of the Business Magnet program and part of DECA at Cleveland High School. Because I felt that I needed to have if I was going to follow or pursue a career in broadcasting, that I had to understand the business side of it. So I was horrible at reading news. They wouldn't even let me on the air. The first time I tried out for Summer Sound, I read news, and Kevin said, yeah, try again. but I ended up getting the DJ program, and he said, well, there's a DJ switch day, and where the DJs have to read news, so you better be ready for it. So I would read the Oregonian every day at the house, and I'm sure that a few of my family members walked in at me sitting at the dining room table reading the Oregonian. He's still talking to himself. It's like, yeah, okay. So came that day at the end of the summer where we have to do a switch day, and in the old KBPS building, which a lot of you probably remember, because I don't think this exists anymore, the front of the auditorium was where all the daytime production happened, and there was the big old 1930s studio with the piano in it, and the big old RCA microphone, and so you sit down, and you're sitting in front of that, and you're just in that cold room all by yourself, and there's people that can stare in through two windows over here in another production studio, and you can see all of them looking in at you, watching you, like, oh, this is wonderful. And I actually did a pretty good job. And then coming back in through the double doors that they had, I heard one door open, heard another. First guy through there was big old, I mean, if you have not, everybody here has met Kevin Flink. And Kevin is just big, and he had a grin from ear to ear, and he goes, somebody's been practicing. The encouragement that gave me to go on and do what I've done, and you know, obviously, you know, running some, you know, very, very powerful brands and being very lucky to, very fortunate to have the kind of career I've had, I think all traces back to some of the, you know, the basic lessons that I learned here at KBPS.
Happy birthday, KBPS. This is Travis Russell, an alum of the program, both as a student and a instructor teacher. I graduated high school in 1992 and spent 3 years in the sports program and a couple summers doing Summer Sound, and then came back in the early 2000s as the instructor supervisor of the sports program. And I have many positive memories of the program and the station, both during my broadcast days as a student and also as an instructor. Some of my students are currently still in broadcasting, and it makes me very proud. The program is a very valuable asset, and I have many positive memories. Anyway, I just wanted to wish a happy birthday to everyone who's been associated with the station and the program. Happy 100th. Here's to 100 more. Take care.
Hi, this is Frank Lindsay, KBPS class of 1993. I was part of 19 Magazine and also Summer Sounds 91, 92, and 93. And also a co-producer of the program Portland High Life. My favorite KBPS memory is probably one that was from before I ever became part of the program, and it was what inspired me to get involved with it. I was sitting in my basement in the summer of 1990. This was the summer between my freshman and sophomore years, and I was aware that there was a radio station at Benson, and I knew about KBPS. My brother had gone to Benson, and he was part of it, too. He was part of the program. And I hadn't really thought much about it until this one night I decided to turn it on and see what they were doing. And it was Summer Sound. And they were playing rock and roll music. I was like, cool. And this guy comes on and he says, hey, if you got any requests, you know, give me a call, 280-5830. I remember that number 30 plus years later. And I called him up and I said, play me some U2, Where the Streets Have No Name. A couple songs later, boom, he plays it. And I thought that was the coolest thing. It was so immediate and right there. And then I thought in that moment, I'm like, I want to do that. I want to be the guy on the other side taking requests. How cool would that be? That's pretty amazing. It's pretty humbling to know that it's been around that long. And I'm just thankful and proud to have been a part of it for a short time. Well, thanks for listening to this Babbling Old Alum. I'm Frank Lindsay, KBPS class of 1993. Thanks, KBPS, for everything. Happy 100th birthday.
We're about to celebrate 100 years of KBPS, and in doing so, we'd like to speak to the people who are part of that history, the alums of Benson High School and the KBPS class. I'd like to thank our guest for joining us, first of all, and get an introduction here. In brief, who are you?
Well, most people will remember me as Jenny Nelson, and now, my married name, I am Jen Gantner, class of 1997. I worked Summer Sound every year that I was in KBPS and loved it. That was one of my favorite kind of summertime hobbies when we weren't in school. And then I won the Patricia Swenson Award my graduating year of 1997, so my name is on the plaque. And then I also, when I graduated high school, was called back as an actual employee of KBPS and worked for the classical station. I ran the board Monday through Thursday nights from 8 to 11 p.m. So I did that for 2 years after I graduated high school as well. So I was with KBPS for many, many years. Oh my gosh, I couldn't be more excited. I couldn't be more honored to be an alumni and be a part of it. I cannot wait for the different events that we're having and getting to see some of my old friends, other KBPS alumni, getting to meet students like yourself. It's so exciting. I couldn't be more proud.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
My name is Milo, KBPS class of 2023. Thank you, KBPS, and happy 100th anniversary.
Hey, I'm Dylan Vershon, class of 2003, and also longtime KBPS, I guess, former employee at this point. I was a student at KBPS from 2001 until I graduated in 2003. After that, I worked Summer Sound, and I actually got hired by the station as a board operator and eventually became the runner of the sports program, which I did until 2020. I was involved here for a long time. I also worked as an engineer here at KBPS. And when the pandemic happened, I produced some specialty programming that maybe you heard here and there for the station. So I have been very involved with KBPS for the better part of over 20 years now.
I'll mention the Fish Fantasy shows. We've had a lot of folks reach out and say it's great stuff, and so we hope that maybe you'll do another one of those sometime.
I will say too, that's something I'm very proud of, having put those together. It was a tremendous amount of work, but I think they turned out pretty good. Basically, I created the old-time radio version of a Fish show experience. Fish is a rock and roll band, for anybody listening that doesn't know. And when the pandemic started, I put together some specialty programs, and I think we successfully took folks' minds off of the pandemic for a few hours on a couple of weekends. So, that was a pretty cool thing. But yeah, maybe some more stuff coming up down the road. I've got some ideas to keep it fresh and some alternate things, but we'll keep that in the weeds for now.
I'm Jonathan Juwade. I was the Benson class of 2003. I was chief of staff at KBPS and also had a short stint as the host of the lunch crew. Yeah, I loved KBPS. Kevin and Steve were always awesome. Felt like father figures and really family members. Loved it so much that I came back and volunteered for a couple of years. But while I was walking the halls of C-Wing and in KBPS, I remember specifically the lunch crew. Man, it was myself, Justin Rossman, whose name was Big Moosey, and Jesse Whiteside, who I just learned was Student of the Year in 2003. He was sidekick Jesse. And I can still remember, it's 11:42, time for the lunch crew on Kid Rhythm Radio. And we had our own show, man. And it was independent of Summer Sound. It was independent of any work. And those are the memories that I have, sitting next to the control board with food, trying not to get it on the control board, and just BSing, man. It was great.
What was your on-air name?
Oh, yeah, Jem and Jawad. Yeah, because my last name is Jwade. And no one can pronounce it. And oftentimes it was Jawad. So it was Jem and Jawad, sidekick Jesse, and Big Moosey.
I am Sean Lewis Phillipson. I am Benson class of 2009. I started my sports casting program as a junior at Benson High School. How do you feel about the 100th anniversary?
Well, I feel honored to, one, be a part of history. If I wasn't around KBPS, I wouldn't know where the station would be. It's amazing. It's almost like I'm running out of adjectives to describe it because maybe everyone has said something differently about KBPS. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's incredible. It's a blessing. All of those adjectives that goes to it. You know, it's amazing. And there's no other way to say it other than it really is a historic meaning to be a part of the 100th anniversary for KBPS.
Hi, my name is Martin Michaud Couch, class of 2006. So I was in KBPS from 2004 to about 2006, sophomore through senior year, and then beyond as a summer sound person, did that for about 3 years. After that, we also competed in Skills USA, taking home the gold for nationals, and that was about it.
You were the part of the very first KBPS national Skills USA winners.
Yes, same with you.
Pretty cool stuff.
Right.
Good times. Hi, guys. My name is Jacob Patterson. I am KBPS Chief of Staff 2006, Summer Sound 2005, 2006, 2009. First KBPS National Skills USA winners 2006, election night co-anchor 2012-2022. I am the current KBPS instructor at Benson High School, taking over for my instructors and mentors, Steve Naganuma and Kevin Flink. So for all of our alums that may not be familiar with myself, I am the new KBPS instructor at Benson. To have a little fun, I will never forget the time that we were on air on Summer Sound, and our general manager, Bill Cooper, we were doing a live report of breaking news that was happening right outside the KBPS studios over there near Lloyd Center. The Franz Bakery and other folks were putting together the world's longest hot dog. And my on-air partner and I said, hey, wait a minute, this is a news story. We're a radio station. Why don't we actually like cover this news story? And we sent out the boss. We sent out the general manager on assignment to go report live from the scene of the hot dog. And I still have that air check today, which I saved all these years later. And I look back at that and I always chuckle about, we were the students making the boss do the work and it was on the world's longest hot dog. That's always fun.
AM 1450 KBPS in Portland. This is the Nate and Jacob Show. And right now on the phone, we have our general manager, Mr. Bill Cooper, live from Franz Bakery.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing all right. What's going on over there at the bakery? What's going on over there?
They're trying to set a Guinness World Record for the longest hot dog bun and the longest hot dog. They got the 100-foot-long hot dog bun out of the oven just about maybe 20 minutes ago, and they have it on a long table outside the Franz building here on Northeast 12th, and now one of the bakers is patiently going down the long baking pan and slitting it in two. cutting it in half so they can slide a hot dog in it. They have a 100-foot-long hot dog that was manufactured over at a meatpacking plant in Pendleton and shipped over here, and they will unroll that off a spool and put it into the hot dog, and then four judges will, including City Commissioner Dan Saltzman, Helen Raptus from Channel 2, Bruce Burdock from K103, and Jonathan Nicholas from The Oregonian, will all certify in writing to the Guinness Book of World Records that it is indeed a continuous, unbroken, 100-foot-long hot dog bun and hot dog, and they will hold the record. And they smashed the record because the old record was only 56 feet.
Ooh, ouch. Almost doubled that, didn't they? Are they going to add any, like, condiments to it, like ketchup?
No, this is strictly a plain hot dog and bun routine here. They don't want to muck it up. And then they're going to carry it across the Burnside Bridge, I believe, and down to Pioneer Courthouse Square to put it on display tomorrow, because Franz is going to do a big event. They're celebrating their 100th anniversary, and they're going to go down and do a big event down there tomorrow. But right now they're in the process of putting together this 100-foot-long hot dog and hot dog bun, and they just reached the end. So you may have to hear some cheering in the background. They just got the bun sliced in half, in two, so there's like a normal hot dog bun.
This is so funny.
They will start, well, it's pretty high on the goofy meter, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I know that if I weren't on air, I would be there right now watching this hot dog.
Yes.
He plays together.
Okay, I see one of the bakers now wheeling the roll of hot dog up to the end of the bun, and they will start unrolling it and laying it into the hot dog here in the next few minutes. So it should be quite a sight to see.
This is our general manager, Bill Cooper, live down at Franz Bakery here on Northeast 12th, where they are about to put together the world's biggest hot dog.
And remember, between, what was it, Bill, 12th and Burnside?
It's on the street in front of Franz Bakery, starting at Flanders down for a block towards Burnside, is closed to traffic, so they can, people are out here, got quite a large crowd here this morning, so it's a lot of interest in seeing how this is all coming together.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. We'll be getting a hold of you very soon.
Okay.
This is AM 1450 KBPS in Portland. That was our general manager, Bill Cooper, live down at Franz Bakery. Wow, the world's biggest hot dog. Yeah.
Not only that, we had Bill Cooper on the air.
Oh, yeah.
On the Nate and Jacob Show.
Oh, we were so cool.
We were so cool.
Well, back with sports now, the Oregon Flat Track Motorcycle Championship. We may get through this yet.
I got it.
The flat track.
Flat track. Say flat track.
With me assisting today is Mr. Murdoch. Mr. Murdoch, would you read this article?
Sure. I know.
Take it away, Briz.
The Oregon Flat Track Motorcycle Championships will be held Sunday at Coos Bay, King Cal Park Speedway. Flat track racing involves the continuous The continuous circling of the track. Registration is set for 4 p.m. with the first race slated at 6 in the evening.
Believe it or not, Bruce, I wrote that article, and I have another one.
Okay,
courses on hunter safety and hunter survival will be offered by the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry on September 4th, 5th, and 6th. The course is for those under 18 who need a certificate of competency, whatever that is. The free course is being taught by the Oregon Game Commission.
Competency,
all right. Thank you very much, Bruce. Reservations may be made by calling OMSI.
The $300,000 for the kindergarten program would be matched with $200,000 in state funds. The state legislature approved public kindergarten as a statewide policy in 1973. Two toll bridges spanning the Columbia River soon will be free to people who will be driving over the Columbia River. Fees will be removed from the Umatilla Bridge on August 30th and from the bridge at the Dow on November 1st, officials said Monday.
When word came Sunday that Nolan Ryan of the California Angels had just pitched, let's start this son of a... I'm sorry, I didn't give it an introduction. Good afternoon. I'm Bruce Murdoch, and it's time now for Sunday Consumer Scoop. A program of news and tips for consumers, Sunday Consumer Scoop is produced in cooperation with the Oregon Consumer League and the General Services it's been one of those days.
This is your London Echo, and in the studios, the BBC in London, this is Peter Lee Wright. A palobolus is a phototropic fungus that grows on potatoes and horse...
Should I have said something? What about the next time? How can I get away with not eating when I go to visit her? Help me, please. Love her butt.
Come on over by the bushes, and this time you sit on me till it gets dark and we go home without giggling and twittering and... But Shadow! There, the bushes are thicker here. Now sit down. Back up fast and sit down fast or you're liable to miss me. And Donegal, don't miss.
I did.
Trick or treat.
Oh, no, not you again.
Hey! Hey!
The second season for the Portland Civic Theater's summer repertory on stage ends Saturday with the final performance of the Broadway hit Company. The curtain opens at 8:30 p.m. The three productions, headed by Gene Davis Buck, Bill Dobson, and Glenn Gower as directors and designers, included the satirical musical Company, the nostalgic and lively Dames at Sea, and Chekhov's Three Sisters.
Then we invite you to listen to KPPS for the live broadcasts of the three-day symposium to be held at Lewis and Clark College on this subject beginning Monday, May 12th. A panel of outstanding speakers, including Iran's prime...
you flake...
Then we invite you to listen to KBPS for the live broadcasts of the three-day symposium on this subject to be held at Lewis and Clark College beginning Monday, May 12th. A panel of...
That sure took a long time to affect, you know that?
Ooh. Jack McCone, manager of the Royals, instead decided to stick with Bruce Dal Kenton. I thought Bruce was the best guy. I can't say Bruce now, damn it. In other American League games, Oakland edged Cleveland 3-2, and Bruce...
Sports, the week in review. A review of the top sporting... I'm going to have to write that part over.
Van was later named head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. Ron Ward, the second-leading scorer in the World Hockey Association last season, considers himself a free agent after the New York Raiders, now the New York Golden Blades.
Who did that?
Crap. And that's a look at sports for this Wednesday evening. Nats. This is Thursday, isn't it?
With this in mind, he pursued the idea and turned the team over to Jack Dunn. Over the years, Dunn has fondled Renault's hopes and wishes with extreme...
Ross?
I'd like to have some way interest in a major league club.
Hi, this is Fran Garvin sitting in for Patty Yost and bringing your community calendar. A Sunday Bonnet Band concert. Oh, my God.
And so, I want to introduce you to Scott and Heidi, my two nephews, or my nephew and niece.
Goodbye.
The first two programs of Summer Forum 73 were concerned with the gasoline shortage from the viewpoints of both the oil companies and the gasoline dealers. So a price freeze on gasoline and diesel fuel has, it is, no,
oh, yeah?
Is that right? I need a transition here, and I can't come up with one.
Many people have said that, yes.
And now bloopers from Summer Sound 2022.
That was She Cries Alone by Skeletal Family. You're listening to AM 1450 KPTS. My name is Irene. Hello. You know who is not crying alone? Me, because I'm surrounded with friends and loved ones. But you know who is? People who listen to Weezer.
In Hong Kong, the oldest male giant panda has died at 35 years old, which would be the human equivalent of 105 years old. His name was An An, and his health had been getting worse and worse over the last few days. If you love animals and enjoy working with people, check out the Oregon Zoo. You can find out more information about being a zoo volunteer by calling 503-525-4273 or on the web at oregonzoo.org.
Hi-ho, everyone. Kermit here, trying to test out a new microphone. It's pretty, it seems to be working. I can't get this piggy into... test the other one, but maybe I can.
We're listening to Summer Sound.
2, 3 o'clock.
Next up, we got Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and the Comets.
8 o'clock, rock.
And we're back with your news. It is currently 2:01 p.m. in the KBPS News Center.
We're testing a microphone, Joe. Don't worry. Save it and email it to me so I can put it in the group.
I know Mondays can be rough, so I hope that we help you have a little bit less rough Monday.
Oh, such an... I had a pretty nice Monday for today. It's Mondays, but Mondays. Good Monday when you listen to KBPS. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back first thing tomorrow. No, that's a lie. We'll be back 10:30 tomorrow with more music, news, weather, all that fun stuff. And you can come by and see all sorts of really talented people. Excuse me, all sorts of really talented people. You're listening to AM 1450, KBPS Portland.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm definitely doing that.
When just we laugh, this... it goes, ah. I'm like,
so oh, just don't
no,
laugh?
No, that's your microphone.
No joy in the audio room.
Okay, start talking.
Hey there, everyone. Kermit the
normal,
Frog here.
Normal.
My name is Giovanni Fejar. Welcome to the KBPS talkback line. Call 503, whatever our number is, to... call in and get a request so then you can play whatever music you want. You're listening to AM 1450, a KBPS supported, and even me, an Italian, listens to KBPS Portland because it gives me free pasta.
Good morning, my name is Gio.
And my name is Jonathan.
We're live from KBPS, Summer Sound, AM 1450, Portland, Marshall Campus, Benson. The next song coming up is Footloose by Kenny Loggins, and we'll be back with the weather right after with the news right after that.
Welcome back to KBPS. My name is Zip, and I'm going to be back with the news right after D-Doo-Doo-Doo-D-Da-Da-Da by the Police.
The problem is we're going to have to turn off the fans.
Union Pacific. Specifically, Pacific is about specific as it gets. Specifically, specific is about as specific as
specific. I am Gio, your morning DJ, and it seems we have a voicer, listener. We had a listener call in.
You're listening to AM 1450 KBPS. Up next, we've got ID Legal by Gloria Four. Thank you all for listening today.
You're listening to the voice of the Portland Public Schools, KBPS Portland.
What's up, everybody? You've been listening to some Elvis Presley, and live in the studio, we have Elvis right here next to us.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, look out, man. It's the king, baby, and let me tell you something. I really like when you play my song on KBPS because I'm the king, man, and we just had lunchtime, so I'm going to have me one of them fried nanner and peanut butter nanner sandwiches, man, and you got some more king queued up, right?
Of course. What do you think of your song, Viva Las Vegas?
Man, that's one of the best songs, man. You know, when you're the king, man, every song is gold, right? But, you know, that's one of my most popular songs, and everybody wants to hear that song. You know, it's one of the most requested songs from the king, but they're all good. Y'all good.
Yeah, well, then let's hear it. Let's give them what they want. Here's Viva Las Vegas by Elvis Presley.
Elvis, you're my superhero.
You're my superhero, too, man.
Bright light city.
Happy birthday, KBPS.
Hi, this is Zip from the KBPS student staff, serving the Rose City for over a century. AM 1450 KBPS Portland. Stream us online at kbps.am.
KBPS celebrating 100 years of broadcast excellence, and it wouldn't be a complete look at everything KBPS does without a mention of the Rose Festival and the Rose Festival Princess interviews that KBPS conducts every year with all of the Rose Festival princesses. And here with us on this special broadcast is one of the top dogs of Rose Festival, one of the organizers. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Clint, and I'm Rose Festival's longtime parade queen and the current CEO of Rose Festival.
Marilyn, it is an honor to talk with you, and I know you are so busy, and it is Rose Festival season, so I know you are busy getting ready for everything. Thank you so much for taking a couple minutes of time and talking with us.
I love it. This is fun.
And so as a student, out of KBPS over 20 years ago, I still remember getting to interview a princess as a KBPS student. And if I can remember that all these years later, I know it's significant, and it's a big thing that students look forward to. Talk about, from the perspective of Rose Festival, how kind of a big of a deal is it that the princesses get honored in a way that they get to be interviewed and they get to be on local media? How important is that?
It's really important, not only to Rose Festival and our outreach to the community and certainly to young people, but it's important for their development. It's important for them to have the experience. And they do get the chance to get interviewed by certain radio stations, but the longest lasting interviews that we've done, as other stations have come and gone with their interests, is KBPS. And that's their opportunity to be interviewed by a peer. And that makes a difference, to have a peer asking them questions, questions that are relevant to your listeners and relevant to them as well. And they go just a little bit beyond the, how are you feeling today now that you're a Rose Festival princess, or what's your favorite event?
We definitely ask those questions. I mean, it's part of the process, and it's part of Rose Festival. But yeah, I always encourage our students today to, as soon as we learn the winners, we get a copy of the bio and we get to read a little bit more about the girls and see what their interests are. And that's what I tell my students today is that's how you be a good journalist. You do your homework and you learn as much as you can about them so you can ask really good questions. And I think we've had some pretty good interviews lately.
Exactly. What you said about doing the research, doing the homework, you can tell the difference with an interviewer who has done it, right? And that's one of the things that makes it fun for the young women as well. But for Rose Festival, part of our mission overall is education. And we are fortunate to be able to work with these young women. And back in the day, Benson was an all-male high school. And so they had many ways of participating in Rose Festival. One of them was interviewing the princesses and creating that relevance between what Benson was doing and what these young women are doing at their respective high schools. And the opportunity to be part of your education there at the school, as well as these young women's education and impacting them, it makes it just extra special. You know, it's super important to us to be part of that educational process, but it's also wonderful to watch these young women have the chance that they get from Rose Festival and the chance to be interviewed. And I remember back in the day when I had to physically transport the young woman to the high school to be interviewed. So I would stand in the background and watch the interview. You know, I'm never going to forget that because it was just so fun to see the students and the princess, and they're both with heightened excitement to be able to sit there and have that happen. You know, and I won't call it nervousness because it really wasn't nervousness. And in this day and age, these young people are so used to talking to social media, talking to their phones, talking to their peers. You know, it's just a different world now than it was then. But it's equally important today for them to have this chance.
And Marilyn, thank you for mentioning that, because I remember doing the interviews in person as well at the KBPS facilities at Benson High School. And it was the complete experience, because KBPS has real, you know, soundproof studios. You walk into those rooms, it's just like any other radio station in town, all the way down to, you know, the weighted door, the soundproof rooms, the big control boards that the students get to learn and run. And it's real. It's not just a school thing. It's not just a little kiddie thing. It's real. And I think part of what makes this lasting memory is the realness of it. But now, in post COVID, we do the interviews via Zoom, right, which I love. I mean, yes, we don't get the in-person aspect, but we still get to see you, and we still get to see the princess. And now what I do is I project the video up on the screen. So while we're doing the interview, or while a student is interviewing the princess, the whole class still gets to engage in the process. That's something we never really had when we were doing them in person, because those studios, as you probably remember, Marilyn, they're pretty small. They're big enough for, you know, two or three people to get in there, but that's about it. And so while the student was interviewing the princess in the studios at KBPS, the rest of the class was out doing their own, they're doing their homework, or they're digging in their textbooks, or in theory, they're doing their homework. Now the whole class gets to engage in the process of every interview. And I think it's making our interviews better and better and better.
I love that you can do that. That I hadn't really thought about that. You know, having lived in the Zoom world, as we all have for the past few years, and I know a lot of people complain about it, it really kept us connected. It kept us in business in many ways. You don't think of all the pluses of being able to do what we do now and the convenience of it. I know it doesn't take the place of that in-person experience, but you pointed out a really important way that we can make the better of it, not just the best of it. And I think one of the things you said that's really important too is that this isn't playing around. Just like you said, it's real equipment. It's state of the art. When the planners came up with Benson High School, Benson Polytechnic High School back, in the day, they really took a lot of care with the high school. And maybe people don't realize that Benson High School itself was like state of the art, if you will, with not just amazing resources, but like the auditorium itself was state of the art. And one of the first connections Rose Festival had with Benson High School was that the Queen's coronation, the selection of the Queen, was held in the auditorium every year from 1930 on. From the first year of choosing a Queen from Portland High Schools, that announcement was made at Benson High School. The connection has been there, you know, through the driver program, the famous Benson drivers, the young men who, because they couldn't have a princess at the school, they provided the drivers for the cars that the young women went around town in. And that was a program that impacted a lot of young men from Benson High School as well. And we hear about it. They tell us about it to this day, how important it was for them.
And Marilyn, speaking as a person, not just as a Benson student, but as a Portlander, born and raised in the Rose City, the Rose Festival is something that we always look forward to every year, all facets of it. I've been a big fan of the treasure hunt. My father found the Rose Festival medallion the year I was born in 1988.
Okay, where was it? Do you know
that was at the Hillsborough Airport in the Blue Max sign. It was
hidden
in between. There was a double. It was a sign that had two signs on it and a little gap right in the middle at the Blue Max restaurant near the Hillsboro Airport. It was stashed right in the middle of that. And so I've been on a mission to find it ever since. I've been real close a couple of times. I always look forward to that. Of course, I always look forward to the big grand floral parade. For the first time, I think, in KBPS history, we actually got to be a part of the Grand Floral Parade this last year. There was a group of local radio and TV announcers called the Voices of Portland, and they reached out to me and said, hey, you want to come join us? I said, only if I can bring some of my students, and we'll call them the Future Voices of Portland. So we all made our signs, and we got to be in the Grand Floral Parade last year, and now I look forward to doing more Rose Festival Princess interviews every year. And Marilyn, I can't thank you enough. I can't thank Rose Festival enough for all of the tremendous work and effort and time that you put into making Rose Festival happen for us every year.
Thank you so much. And thanks for the story about last year's parade. Bill Shonley there, and maybe a future Sean's there as well.
Again, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Marilyn Clint, one of the organizers, CEO of Portland Rose Festival, as we are celebrating 100 years of KBPS, and we want to showcase some of our this year's Rose Festival Princess interviews. So we'll do that next here on the broadcast. Marilyn, thank you so much for taking a couple minutes out of your busy schedule to chat with us.
It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
I'm Oscar Crimmon with KBPS Student and Staff, and my guest is the newly selected Rose Festival Princess, Audriana Etheridge of Ida B. Wells High School. First of all, congratulations on selection and welcome to KBPS.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Nice. How does it feel to officially be a Rose Festival Princess now?
It's kind of surreal. I've definitely been wanting to do this since I was a freshman, and I'm just beyond excited, especially because I was the first one kind of announced. So I'm excited to meet all the other amazing girls selected and to, you know, start this journey.
Cool, cool. Why did you want to become a Rose Festival Princess?
Like I said, I've kind of always wanted to do it since freshman year. It really caught my eye. There was no real reason, but it was like, oh, cool, you know, like princess. But
yeah.
As I researched it more, last year, and Senya Scott, who was from my school, was the queen, and she went all the way, and it was just seems like such an incredible experience to be able to be a part of. And
definitely,
honestly, yeah, something that's once in a lifetime to be able to create a community of like-minded people, but also to be able to do so many different volunteering activities and go on so many different experiences.
Mm-hmm, definitely. How does it feel to represent your school?
I'm really excited about that, like, representation. I do a lot of that right now, like in leadership, and in other clubs, like on a smaller scale, but nothing that's ever been this big. And I'm really excited to, you know, kind of bring Ida B. Wells to the table and to, you know, be able to represent Ida B. Wells as a person too, because we changed our name recently, and I feel like I have done a lot of research and knowledge about the name change. So I'm kind of excited to bring those new principles that we've brought with us in the name change to the Rose Court.
What was your community's reaction to your selection?
I think everyone was really excited. I had a lot of my friends come yesterday, and I brought my brother and my friends, and I think everyone was super excited for me. And yeah, I've just gotten a ton of positive feedback. I've been having tons of people texting me and reaching out to congratulate me, and it just feels really nice to have all the support.
Nice. Why is being a Rose Festival Princess important to you?
I think it's important to, you know, preserve the tradition of the Rose Court, because there's like, oh gosh, so many years of tradition through it. But I think it's also important because I really want to get to know Portland before I leave. I'm also a senior right now, and I'll be going off to college soon. So I'm excited to really get to know Portland and learn all about our community and our, like, meet important figures. And I'm just excited to really enrich myself in Portland's history and culture, you know, before I have to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. What life experiences have helped you find the confidence to do this?
I think, well, so many different things. I think being a part of my school's leadership program has really given me a lot of opportunities to be able to grow outside of my shell and to really accumulate leadership experience. As well as my No Place for Hate program, we have an incredible No Place for Hate program at my school, which it's an organization that's partnered through the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, and we do incredible things there. So I think having such solid communities at school, but also outside of school, I've done a lot of work in teaching and like education. So I think also having that foundation of like, you know, that confidence of teaching, you really have to build a thick skin to be able to do that. So, you know, multiple things.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about this year's Rose Festival theme and what does it mean to you?
This year the theme is focus on fun. So each candidate, wrote and performed a speech, a 3-minute speech on how we are focusing on fun. And I think I touched on that a little bit already, like really trying to learn about Portland and its culture before I leave. And I mean, I have so much stuff I want to do to really make this year fun, but a lot of what focusing on fun to me is also prioritizing my mental health and like what I need. And, you know, cause you can't really prioritize fun, and for me, without prioritizing yourself. So I think listening to what I need, giving myself the time and space to, you know, be happy and relax. So yeah, allowing myself, you know, to have fun and do all these crazy fun things with the Rose Corps and anything else I take on this year, but also, you know, giving myself space to recharge and, you know, be healthy and happy.
Mm-hmm. One of your career paths you're interested in is education. Tell us why.
I think there's so much to learn from it. I don't even know if I want to go into education yet, but I love learning it and studying education as a whole because I feel like there's so much to learn. Yeah. I kind of have this mindset that it's like, if I can really own teaching and education, it will really set me up and prepare me for life. There are so many amazing transferable skills within being a teacher and within working with kids.
What is it like being in charge of the social media accounts for Ida B. Wells? Is it a lot of work?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure sometimes, but I actually really like it. I've gotten really into Canva recently and used to doing all of the posts and stuff, but it's a lot of fun. I get to communicate with tons of different people from different clubs and activities and really organize a lot of that stuff. I've also worked a lot on trying to lift up and celebrate all types of events, but also like Heritage and History Months is something that I've really been trying to work on this year, and like helping provide support when anyone needs it so that everyone can, you know, have fun and have successful events.
What is it like being in charge of the social media accounts for Ida B. Wells? Is it a lot of work?
Yeah, it definitely is a lot of work. At first, it was super, super nerve-wracking to begin because social media isn't something that I'm like super comfortable with totally in my personal life. So taking it on for my leadership class was definitely stressful at first, but I actually really like it now. I think it's a lot of fun to, you know, make all the Canva posts and to be able to reach out with my community and just provide support wherever is needed to any clubs or activities and sports that might need it. But yeah, I really enjoy it now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Mm-hmm. You like to dance. Tell us more.
I do. So I danced for like 7 or 8 years. And then I was in my cheer program my sophomore and junior years at Wells. I'm no longer doing cheerleading or any type of competitive dance, but the type of dance that I do now is definitely very unique. I work as a motivational dancer. Not a lot of people have heard of it, but I work for an entertainment company. So basically like DJs and stuff, and my whole job is me and a few other people, like we have a DJ and an MC, and we'll go into parties. Most of them will be like bar bat mitzvahs that I do, and we basically just dance and, you know, help the kids have fun because a lot of them are like 13 years old and you know, kind of sometimes struggle with that, so we kind of are there to provide support, and it's honestly so much fun. I absolutely love it.
That sounds fun. Mm-hmm. You're a book collector. What kind of books do you collect?
Literally any book ever. I have so many books in my house. I love thrifting a lot of books. Like Value Village has an incredible selection, Goodwill, but I also love Powell's. I really try and read books that I'll learn a lot from, but also books that I can relate to and like things that kind of relate to my personal life. But I will say I do not usually read like super scholarly books. Usually I just read for my own fun and stuff.
Nice, nice. What social media site do you use the most and why do you like it?
Probably Instagram. And I think most of that is just because of the stuff I do for my leadership account. I don't use social media a ton for my personal account because it's a little intimidating for me, but I use Instagram a ton for my school's account because it really is a super effective way to like reach out with our community and get the word out about things.
Yeah. What's your favorite type of music or music genre, or do you have any favorite artists or songs?
Yeah, I definitely don't have the most like refined music taste. I tend to go for like just throwback pop music, but recently I've been really into Lady Gaga. Basically every time I'm in the car I'll put on Lady Gaga. So
nice. What is your secret superpower?
I think I did a couple college essays on this. I think relating back to my dancing that I do for my work, it takes a lot for me to kind of be embarrassed easily. I have a pretty thick skin, so I, you know, my whole job with that is basically getting paid to embarrass myself. So, you know, I don't know, I'm pretty able to throw myself out there and, you know, be fine about it.
Yeah, thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you much for taking the time to be here today. I've been speaking with Rose Festival Princess Adriana Etheridge from Ida B. Wells High School. I am Oscar Krimman reporting from AM 1450 KBPS.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hello, my name is Matthew of the KBPS student staff, and my guest is one of the newly selected Rose Festival Princesses, Sierra Denman of Central Catholic High School. First of all, congratulations on your selection and welcome to KBPS.
Thank you.
So to start it off, how does it feel to be officially be a Rose Festival princess now?
It's really exciting, and I can't wait to meet all the new people on the board.
When did you want to become a Rose Festival princess?
I wanted to start this journey last year, but my school doesn't allow juniors. So yeah.
And how do you feel about that? Do you think that some of the juniors should have a chance at this and not just seniors? Or?
Personally, it's up to the school, but I feel like if you do go as a junior and you lose, I feel like it's another chance. You have another chance and opportunity to do it again next year. So I think it is good that it's up to juniors as well.
All right. How does it feel to represent your school as one of the Rose Festival princesses of who knows how many generations?
A lot, apparently. But no, I feel real honored in that I have the actual opportunity to represent my school and what we stand for.
All right. And what was your community's reaction to your selection?
All I heard was a whole bunch of loud cheering. I heard my two friends out in the front, my friend Leomar and my friend Kais, cheering for me the loudest, their voice went over the crowd. So I was really happy that I had the support from them.
And how do you think they'd react if you were to lose, for example?
Honestly, I don't know, because like all I kept on hearing was like, you better win. This is for us. So honestly, I don't know how they would necessarily react to me losing.
Oh, I mean, would you assume that they'd support you?
Yeah, of course. But like, you know, friends are different nowadays.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Let's see. Why is being a Rose Festival princess important to you?
It's important to me because I am a role model and I get to help younger generations and people, like people follow their dreams and stuff. And it's important to me because of what they stand for and the impact we have on our community.
All right. And what life experiences have helped you find the confidence to do this? Because I mean, this obviously isn't a very, you know, for certain people, it's not the, you know, the most ideal experience, I guess, you know, maybe not very social. What would you say?
I don't know what life experience would like help me prepare to this moment. I am a very like outgoing person and I'm very like both. So necessarily talking to new people and meeting new people is like kind of my personality. So, yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this year's Roast Festival theme and what it means to you.
The Roast Festival theme this year was focusing on fun, and focusing on fun to me means just being yourself and doing the best you can. Like I said before in one of my speeches, it's talking about like how I'm a senior and I'm going off to college and this is necessarily the time to mess up and like, you know, have fun and be who you are before going out into the world and truly and like embarking on who you're going to be and finding yourself. So focusing to me is, you, like I said before, being myself, going out there, having fun with friends and family.
Nice. I know you didn't really mention what college you were going to, but do you have, you know, just a slight clue on where you could be going? Like any ideas in mind?
Right now I'm thinking University in New Mexico, but right now I am unsure what I am going to college for. But like if I had to choose like a major, I was always thinking around marine biology or pediatric nursing or law.
Nice. Since me personally, I'm in a Ocean Bowl club, which talks about marine biology.
Yeah, I really love sharks. So that's my main sharks.
All right. Well, that's nice. Tell us everything about what you do inside and outside of school. Any hobbies, any interests?
Last year I was a liturgical minister at my school. It's a Catholic school, so we have masses, so I would speak at those. And I've helped out with two theater productions. I am on the varsity cheer team. I am in a Rambassador, and Rambassador is literally just an ambassador, but our school's mascot is the ram, so they put ram in front of everything. So I am a Rambassador. I am a sophomore retreat leader. And outside of school, before COVID, I would go to the Boys and Girls Club. So I was involved in a lot of leadership things there too.
All right. And what are your plans for your future? Like, you know, with this experience, and certainly this is going to look good on wherever you apply. Where do you think you'd be going off after high school?
All I know is that I'm going to college, but other than that, I'm not totally sure on my future plans.
Any sort of interests that you'd love to go into? I mean, you have marine biology as one of your favorite things. You could be an ocean biologist.
Yeah, other than that, like I've said before, law and pediatric nursing, but I was also thinking about like advertising and like in a way, because like I'm a very creative person. So like coming up with ideas and the concepts for commercials. And I've also was ever thinking about like human resources, like helping and giving back to my community.
And I saw here that you won an award for cheerleading. Could you tell us more about that?
For all the schools like around America, for cheerleading your high school or your group, you can go to a certain camp, and within that camp it's like 2 to 3 days, and then afterwards you try out for All-American. And so All-American is like I wouldn't say a whole bunch of teams, but there's different places you can go in between. So I tried out for All-American, I got it, and I had the opportunity to go to London to cheer in their London New Day parade.
Nice. Well, I want to personally say congratulations on your award.
Thank you.
You said one of your favorite places to visit is the Moda Center. What are some of the best shows and events you've seen there?
I normally go there just for basketball games, but honestly, yeah, I don't really go to like concerts or anything of that sort. I've been there for cheer competitions when I was younger. So like those like the only two main events I actually have been gone to the Moda Center for.
Yeah, you know, this might be a stupid question, but what is your favorite basketball team?
Honestly, I don't want to say like I'm a bandwagon in a way, but I don't really care. I like to win, so I like to go for the winning team. But other than that, like Blazers, my home city, and I also like the Lakers. So those are like the two main, those are the two main sports teams in my house. So those are the two I would follow.
Well, nice. what social media site do you use the most of? We're coming into like the fun part of the question. So
I would just say Snapchat. Yeah. I don't really use like Instagram or anything.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
You're good.
What are your favorite type of music? Any favorite artists or songs, favorite genre?
I'm an R&B fan, but like my favorite artist is Neo because I really love all his songs and I know all the words, so yeah.
and I guess for our last question right on here. What is your secret superpower?
What is my secret superpower?
Yeah.
I don't know. Secret superpower. What do you mean by secret superpower?
I couldn't tell you, honestly, because I don't have one myself.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure what my secret superpower is. Like, if I could take a superpower, you know.
I guess to simple it, make it more simple. What superpower would you want?
Like I said, teleportation. I think it'd be cool to wake up like 10 minutes before you have to be somewhere and not teleport there, or like super speed or super flight because I can get there like in blink of. That'd be cool.
All right. Well, I think that's about all that we have. I personally don't really have too much to say. So thank you very much for taking your time to be here today. We very much appreciate it. And I've been speaking with the Rose Festival Princess Sierra Denman from Catholic Central High School. I'm Matthew reporting for AM 1450 KBPS.
Thank you.
Joe Anderson here, KBPS Student Chief of Staff, alongside special guest Nikki Hernandez, newly elected Rose Festival Princess from David Douglas High School. First of all, Nikki, congratulations on your selection and welcome to KBPS.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Jumping right into our questions, how does it feel to officially be a Rose Festival Princess?
It feels... first of all, it feels like an honor. I feel very honored to be chosen. I feel very blessed to have this opportunity to represent my school, my community, and just help out.
Okay. Why did you want to become a Rose Festival Princess?
I wanted to become a Rose Festival Princess because I thought it was really... amazing to, you know, become a princess and have a crown and wear a beautiful dress, beautiful gown, and of course just helping out and representing my community, of course.
And how does it feel to represent your school, to represent your community?
I feel honored. Like that's that's the biggest feeling, how I feel, feeling honored that I get to represent.
Yeah, what was the reaction from your school, from your community to your selection as Rose Festival Princess?
Oh, I got a lot of people telling me that there's like, oh, I knew it was you. Like, oh, I was cheering so loud for you. Like, and I got a lot of people telling me that they were proud of me and that uplifted me.
Could you, why is this important to you to be a Rose Festival Princess?
It's important to me because I think it's very, how do I put it in words? It's important to me because I would like to encourage, other young women, young girls of color, to put themselves out there and help out and, you know, be a face in their community.
What life experiences have helped you find the confidence to do this huge task?
Well, I'd say just being out of my comfort zone. For example, this year I'm a part of a leadership program, and I guess that class and those people in my class have helped me be more comfortable outside of my comfort zone. And just having people around me.
Could you talk about this year's Rose Festival theme and what it means to you?
When I thought about this year's theme, I thought it was kind of perfect in, like, for me, because I like to have fun. I like to have a lot of fun and enjoy the moments. I believe that. Oh, can you repeat the last part of that question?
Yeah. No worries. What does this year's theme mean to you?
For me, I have a lot of hopes for this year. I have a lot of hopes, a lot of goals. So I believe that focusing on fun is, how do I say, like a stepping stone to, you know, to help reach my goals by enjoying what I'm doing and just having fun.
Yeah. And as we talk about your hopes and your goals, right here, I'm seeing you're looking to be a nurse.
Yes. As a kid, I wanted to be a veterinarian. So I've kind of always wanted to be in the, like, working on medical, being in the medical field. And I like helping out people in any way that I can. I like to be, helpful. So I guess those two mesh together, and being a nurse, especially with babies, I feel like that's a really big dream of mine.
So with babies, you're hoping for like a nursing within pediatrics or labor and delivery, which specific area?
I do lean towards more pediatrics.
Okay, cool. Now, looking at this right here, you do quite a few sports. Could you tell us about them?
Yeah, I came from a pretty athletic family. Like, my dad played soccer, my mom did basketball and volleyball, and my sisters, they did cheerleading when they were in high school. So it's kind of rubbed off on me. And I've always wanted to try new things. Like, this year I did wrestling, and that was something that I never thought that I would do. But I had a lot of fun doing it in the short amount of time that I did. And I did softball as well, which I wanted to start doing that middle school, but because I was too timid and shy, I never did. But I'm glad that I got into it in high school.
And I'm also seeing your favorite place in Portland is the Rose Garden at Peninsula Park. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes. I'd say it's my favorite because I really like flowers. I love flowers. They're beautiful. So I love being there, taking a lot of pictures and capturing the moment and just being one with nature and knowing that Portland has such a beautiful place.
Capturing the moment on social media, one of our next questions. What's your favorite social media site and why?
I'd say Instagram. Instagram is definitely my favorite because when I can post, especially on the stories, I can add like a little song or something very subtle and make it like look aesthetic. I really enjoy Instagram a lot.
Yeah, it's posting on the story. It's an art of sorts and yes. Different type of art, music. Tell us, what music do you like listening to? Any favorite artists or songs that you have?
Oh, that's always a hard question that I have. I can never have one favorite song, but lately a song that's really been in my heart is a song called Keep Doing What You're Doing by Bryson Tiller. It's a very nice song. At the moment, it's still my favorite. And I really love music. As a child, I grew up in a church, and and also like a few of my cousins, we have the amazing ability to sing. So I'd say that being able to sing and being able to learn a few instruments here and there, I've realized over the years that music is a big therapy for me as well.
Finally, going 12 for 12, our final question, what is your secret superpower?
Ooh, I guess I can say that resilience would be my superpower. Oh, no, I'm lying. I have a pretty good ear. I have a pretty good ear when it comes to like conversations that I know I'm not supposed to be a part of, but I can always hear like somebody mentioning something. And I'm like, oh, I heard that, or something off in the distance, and like, oh, like I heard that. I guess hearing is my secret superpower that not everybody in my family knows.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today. Joe Anderson here, KBPS Chief of Staff, alongside newly elected Rose Festival Princess for David Douglas, Nikki Hernandez. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Giovanna Ferrajar from the KBPS Student Staff, on your radio dial for over 100 years, AM 1450 KBPS Portland, online at kbps.am.
Congratulations to KBPS on serving the Portland community since 1923.